Next item I have on the agenda is Mr. Dimitri Hyonas, reconsideration of forfeited priority rights to 2-pound nets. Applicant failed to purchase the license within the lawful time. You handle this, Mr. Travelstead, with...
Partly with the assistance of Officer Bennis, who is much more aware of the intricate details of this than I am.
Mr. Bennis, you weren't here this morning, were you, officer? First thing, raise your right hand. Solemnly swear testimony you're about to give me the truth, the whole truth, none of the truth. So help you God. Thank you, sir.
Let me just introduce the topic, and then I'm going to hand it over to Officer Bennis, who has actually has a PowerPoint presentation that I think is more descriptive of the issue. But the situation is this. Mr. Hyonas has in the past purchased 6-pound net licenses in the area of Cape Henry. This year, he purchased only 4 of those licenses. And under the provisions of our regulation, if you fail to license your nets by a certain date, they are considered vacant and open to any other registered waterman to license. And in fact, that was the case. We had another waterman come in, Dirk Sanford, and he has now licensed those. Mr. Hyonas claimed some confusion on the part of the agent and is asking that his rights to those two sites be reinstated and that the licenses be removed from Mr. Sanford. You have a letter from Mr. Hyonas that describes in detail his situation. You have a written report from Officer Bennis on his investigation, and you have a copy of Regulation 20 that specifies the time periods for applications in order to maintain priority rights. You'll find that on page 3 of Regulation 20. What I handed out just a few minutes ago is a letter from a Mr. Menning, Doug Menning, that's dated August 15th, who happened to be in Long Bay Point bait and tackle shop at the time Mr. Hyonas purchased the 4 licenses instead of the 6. And he offers clarifying testimony that is in contrast to the letter from Mr. Hyonas.
Is Mr. Menning here today?
That I can't.
Okay, think. Thank you.
So he is here as well. With that, I want to turn it over to the officer and let him give you the more detailed history.
Thank you, Mr. Travelstead.
And if you have any questions of me once you get through this, I'm here.
Right. Officer Bennis?
Yes, sir. Mr. Travelstead did a very good job of introducing this. I have a couple of quick slides just to try to clarify some of these issues on it and to point out some of the problems that we've been facing on this. Brief timeline, March 9th, 2005, Mr. Hyonas purchased pound nets from Mr. Kenneth P. Etheridge, applied for the leases of those dates, gave applications to Sergeant Clifton, who was MPO at that time and district officer. At that time, Mr. Hyonas surrendered licenses 3 and 4 out of those 6 licenses for the weak fish closed season requirements. In 2006, Mr. Hyonas purchased licenses from MPO Clifton again. At this time, he surrendered licenses 5 and 6 rather than 2 and 4, or 3 and 4 as he did the previous year. 2007 season is the season that we went to the computerized system and using the agents to sell these licenses. The MPOs were no longer selling them. In 2007, Mr. Hyonas purchased the licenses from Long Bay Point. To my understanding, it was from Agent Connie Barber at that time. Mr. Hyonas produced his previous year's licenses and requested to have the licenses renewed. At this time, he surrendered licenses 5 and 6 again. 2008 season, on December 7th, 2007, Sergeant Clifton approved the license renewal in our computer system for purchase by Mr. Hyonas. By January 10th, 2008, at noon, as required by our regulations, Mr. Hyonas failed to renew those licenses. On May 1st, 2008, Sergeant Clifton notified Mr. Hyonas by phone to purchase those licenses immediately or he'd lose them. And on that date, Mr. Hyonas purchased licenses 1 through 4 from Long Bay Point Bait and Tackle Shop. And it's my understanding that Agent Steve Ray was the agent that sold him those 4 licenses at that time. On July 7th, 2008, Mr. Dirk Sanford applied for licenses 5 and 6, which were considered vacant and open at that time for application. Applications were accepted by Sergeant Clifton on July 7th. On July 28th, based on our regulations and the information that I had received through talking to several people in reference to this, I approved his licenses for Mr. Sanford. This is the law that applies, or regulations that apply to this. Applications for renewal accepted beginning 9 a.m. December 1st through noon, January 10th of the next licensing year. In red, any locations not relicensed during the above period of time shall be considered vacant and available to any qualified applicant after noon on January 10th. And there's the priority rights for who can apply for the licenses. And the priority that the first application has priority rights on it. This is the area in question. This is Cape Henry, Lesnar Inlet, Lesnar Bridge, Lynn Haven Inlet. This is the Lynn Haven Fishing Pier here. These 6 licenses run in an easterly direction, starting approximately at the foot of Great Neck Road and run in an eastern direction down towards the military base at Fort Story. And this is a view from Google Earth, is what I use to make these slides. If you can see, it's very dim here, but you can see a pound net with the leader and the funnel and the net out here. This is pound net number 1. It's very visible on Google Earth. This pound net is located right off the foot of Great Neck Road. Here are the 4 stands as they exist now. Again, there are 6 licenses in this area. There are only 4 stands that are being fished and have poles on them and nets. Stand 1 is off the foot of Great Neck Road, which is, this is considered West Great Neck Road, but at the time that these descriptions were made, this part of Great Neck Road did not exist. That stand is on license number 1. You go down here, and it's hard to see, but that's the foot of Bayberry Street. License number 2 uses the Bayberry Street as a description. And stand 2 is off of Bayberry Street. Stand number 3 is in the middle of the First Landing State Park. You see this parking area right here. This is their offices and their reception area. Stand 4 is right on the line, or approximately 150 yards off the line of the First Landing State Park and the Fort Story military base. And these are some of the points that are listed in the description of the licenses, which I said, Great Neck Road, Bayberry Street, the west end of the state park. That's the boundary line right there. That is license number 3. And as you can see, there is no stand currently on license number 3. License number 4 and license number 5 have very vague descriptions on them. It's difficult to tell where they're supposed to be located. 4 is stated that it's east of Lynn Haven Inlet and west of Fort Story. And then stands license 5 and 6 come off of those that coordinate, wherever that was located. If you go down here to the boundary lines, license number 6 mentions the state park and the Fort Story boundary line. There is a stand there in that vicinity. It has moved approximately 120 yards from where it used to be. There are vacant poles at this location that have not been pulled up. This has been approximately 2.5-3 years. This net was damaged in the storm and rebuilt approximately 100 yards to the west of where it originally stood. This stand is one of the stands, or this license is one of the licenses Mr. Sanford has applied for that was vacant and has been granted. Stand 5 in the description is located 1,400 yards west of Stand 6, and that would put it down here in the vicinity of Stand 2. That's where the confusion is coming up. And then Stand 4 is listed to be off of that, and that would put it on Stand 1. Very difficult to tell where those two stands are supposed to be based on their descriptions. If you orient this Google map north, south, east, and west, and you come off on a direct east, eastwardly direction from there, that would put stands 4 and 5 offshore, and there was at least one of those stands or one of those licenses that were supposed to be offshore. Possibly two of those licenses were supposed to be offshore. But based on our descriptions that we have on these licenses, you would have to make some assumptions that I can't make. And this is just some of the work that I've been doing with trying to find out where these locations were. These are some GPS locations that have been placed on some of our paperwork from years past. And if you place those with Google Earth, which is very accurate on their GPS locations, you see license 1 here. License 2 is on the bike path over here going into Seashore State Park. So these old GPS locations or Latin longs that were somehow in our system were very inaccurate. But as I discussed before, at least one of those licenses were offshore. You see where license number 4 ends up is offshore out here. Some more possible stand locations. If you come down just following the beach down there going in the easterly direction, the licenses end up in different areas down in this direction. And that's just some of the assumptions I was making. And here's some other assumptions that I was making, which I discussed earlier, going in the direct easterly direction, which puts Stand 4 and 5 offshore. And like I say, that's an assumption on my part that I can't really justify with the descriptions on the applications. There's been two applications put in by Mr. Sanford. The original applications were going off those old GPS locations. His original application ended up with his two applications out here off of Fort Story, which we cannot put pound nets off of Fort Story due to the military operations that go on in that area. I set this one by the old pound nets. Poles that are out there, the abandoned pound net poles for license number 6, and went approximately 325 yards to the west and set the second application for Mr. Sanford at that location. That puts that location in the right dead center between two existing stands, which would not interfere with either one of those stands at this location. And there's a couple of better shots of it. If you can. And like I say, these are very vague, but there's a stand there. That's Stand 4 or License 6. This is the number 3 stand, which is not on a license that I can tell. The new application I put right in the center of them, which gives a 300-yard buffer between the pound nets. The last slide on that. The end result of this is going to be is there'll be 2 new pound nets constructed in this area. There are 4 out there that have been there for years. With Mr. Sanford's applications, if he constructs out there, now there will be 6 pound nets in this area.
That is if the commission decides.
If the commission decides, yes, sir.
And is there adequate room there? I'm just trying to get my ducks in a row because this can be very confusing. Is there adequate room there for six?
Yes, sir. If going by our regulations, there is room. If we go down and look at the existing stands, this is where I've placed one of Mr. Sanford's applications, and that gives the 300 yards, but just barely. And if you come down here to the licensed area, currently licensed area, that's right here at the west boundary line, a stand could be put out here, and that would give the six stands in this area.
All right, let's get through hurdle one if we can. If there's any questions, what I'd like to do is I'd like to hear evidence pertaining to the transaction. And I understand, can you turn the lights on for me, please, Kathy? Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Sanford, represented by counsel. Hi, Mr. Weisberg. Would you prefer to lead the testimony as far as putting on the case on the benefit of your client? Okay, before we do that, Mr. Hyonis here. Mr. Hyonis, could you come forward, or anyone that's going to testify on your behalf, raise your right or stand up so I can get straight. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you'll give before the commission today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth self you got? Okay. Mr. Hines, can you come forward and state your case? This is the opportunity. I'm sorry, Mr. Welton.
Can you represent Mr. Hines at first to lay out the groundwork for this?
Okay, that's fine. Recognizing that you're doing it is a benefit to Mr. Hines and not a member of the bar.
Correct. So, my name is Richard Welton. Thank you all for hearing us out today. My connection to this is I went to work for Mr. Hyonis when he bought these poundnet licenses, and I actually ran them for a year and a half. And I think given my command of the English language and Mr. Hyonis's, I don't know who shot John on this. I'm going to lay out to you what the deal is as far as how we understood it when we bought it and we fished them. Mr. Hyonis bought six license sites from Mr. Etheridge, like staff has told you. It was my understanding at the time that four of them were along the shoreline, and indeed there were three of them being worked and one of them with old poles all along the shoreline. All four of those sites are being worked. One of them is at one end, 50 yards from the other end, maybe 100 yards from the old poles, most of which have been taken down. It was my understanding at the time, and reading the descriptions of the licenses at the time, that the other two license sites were offshore. Now, it's important to realize that ASMFC, if the pound netters don't want to be closed down by undersized gray trout, they have to reduce their catch by 28% of gray trout. So they have to give up a license for every two pound net licenses they fish. So he needed the six licenses at the time so that he could fish the four. But it was my understanding the two of them were offshore, and reading the description, I read one of them offshore. I've never put GPS coordinates on there. You know, Kenny Etheridge had fished them for 15 or 20 years, and we came in and fished the same sites. And there was no problems until this year. Now, even though I was the manager of Lithaven Fishing, and I went out every day in the boat, and I had the licenses in my satchel in a plastic case, and I had them to comply with the law, I never bought the licenses, and Mr. Hyonis never bought the license. In fact, VMRC's officer Clifton came every year, and I told him one year we needed to buy the licenses, and we called over to VMRC, and they said, you've already bought the licenses. They were in their possession because Officer Clifton had gone to Mr. Hyonis' wife, Josie, every year, who was the lady with the checks, the money lady, and she wrote him a check, and then he took back the two licenses that we weren't going to fish. So the fact that one year we gave back two licenses and another year we gave back two different licenses, which today was the first day I ever knew that, it shows how confusing the issue is as to what license was where. But the bottom line was we were fishing four sites and we were buying two more licenses and giving them up. Everything went along fine. Last year, VMRC sent a letter out, and they did say it was going to be the last year. I wasn't working there anymore. I've got my own business now. But they sent out a letter, it's my understanding, it said this is here are the licenses you had last year, and listed them all, and you've got to go buy them from an agent. The VMRC officer's not going to deliver them and get a check this year. And so Mr. Hyonis took the letter from the VMRC, just like you do for your crab pot license or any other license that's limited entry. He goes down to the agent, and he gets everything that's on the letter. This year he doesn't get a letter. VMRC doesn't send a letter. They said that last year. that we're not going to send a letter next year. You got to handle it yourself. So everything's business as normal until the officer came down and said, hey, you got to get your license. So he went down there to get the license. And you'll get testimony on both sides of what happened from there. But the bottom line is he employs 8 to 12 people. In the slow months, you might not get 1,000 pounds of saleable fish in a day. It's important to fish two nets one day, another two nets the next day. He's not going to be able to keep employing those people if he can't fish four nets. So I would like to be able to come up at the end and recap for him as his representative what the issue is and what we're asking you all to do and why.
Okay. Mr. Hyannis, did you want to address the commission, sir? Good afternoon. Could you please state your name for the record?
Dimitri Hyannis. Well, it's almost exactly like he, Mr. Wharton say. Mr. Clifton called me late in May. I don't realize that I have not the license done yet. And specific tell me, Dimitri, go right now. Get your license right now. I left immediately, and I went to Long Bay Point. At that time, it was Steve Ray, one of the owners of the place, and I asked him to repeat the license I have from last year. And I never looked at the license. I thought it was all right, and I picked up the license, and I left. About a month after, in a hot dog stand, somewhere in a short drive, I found out that no any longer I own the nets. And I said, what I done wrong? He said, you forgot to pick up two of the licenses. Mr. Sanford owns them. Whoa, I did not know. Then Mr. Steve Venice, he came to my office and said, Dimitri, you have a problem. I said, yes, I just found out from the hot dog stand that I don't own the two of the nets. I said, what nets you don't own, Dimitri? And I say, I have no idea. Mr. Venice, he was right there. I put him on a speakerphone, and I spoke to the Long Bay on a speakerphone. Mr. Benyus was sitting right next to me, and I said, Steve, can I talk to you? Say, yeah, Dimitri, what do you want? I said, please help me. I want my license. I'm not sure what license I don't have. I should have six licenses. They tell me I have four. And he said to me in the phone, I cannot get to the computer to help you out. It was over. So then I called him back. And I want to have an appointment because the reason I asked him what license I don't have, the license, he was in the boat fishing with my crew, and I cannot get him. So I wait till the boat come back and I get the license, and I look, I already have four licenses. I have no idea that $100,000 worth of each net, I will let it go without license for $20. So I say, okay. I call Steve Ray and I want an explanation why I don't have the other two. Well, Steve Ray stands at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He has an appointment with his wife to eat dinner at 2 o'clock. He refused to see me. I beg him to give me 2 minutes. I say, I need help, man. I am in trouble. I want to know what's wrong with this. So I found him driving my car and he was in his boat. I stand outside of his parking. And he's watching me for the boat for at least 25 minutes, 20 minutes. And then I noticed from the left side, his partner came. And only saw his partner, he came out. It's like something was wrong. Like I came there to fight him. I have no idea why he was not coming out. So he came out. And I taped him talking to me. And I said, Steve, for the name of the God, help me out. I need your help. You're the one who can find a peaceful solution here. Tell me what happens and why I have four licenses. He turned around and said, you see, you tell me you want Pillsbury, you want Cape Henry, you want this, and I have no idea what he was talking about. I have no idea what is the name of my permits. Because Mr. Wharton, he was running the place, and I continued the same license for 33 years, not 20, 33 years they've been there. So I have nothing of purpose done. I never abandoned my license. I think it's a mistake. And I noticed this morning, I have three witnesses come and say that somebody else It was there when I tell him I want four licenses. Now, do I look that I will spend $100,000 building it, more than $100,000, to abandon it for $20? I'm sorry, I'm very emotional. But that's my story. I never want to abandon. I want my license. I want my nets. I never done anything illegal on the nets to move them left or right. That's how I purchased them. They've been there for 33 years. No one officer came, Dimitri, you're making a mistake. That's number 25, that's number 26. You have them wrong. No, they accepted for so many years. Hallelujah. I don't want to do nothing. I leave them like that. I pay my license. This year, this is the mistake that happens. I don't want to abandon my license. This is not the old nets that you used to do. With the $2,000, you buy the poles from an old trees that you found in the street. Right now, my nets cost me almost $1,200 each pole to set it. Why I should abandon for $20?
Any questions of Mr. Hyonis? Mr. Tankard?
Mr. Hyonis, I'm trying to understand, though, sort of this handoff from the point that you received a notice from Clifton.
Yes, sir.
In 1 year, and then the next year you had to go to Long Bay.
Yes, sir.
Did you not realize somewhere in January, you know, was it the same time of year Clifton showed up and then...
Yes, sir.
Tell us what happened there.
This is the problem. Mr. Clifton was having taken care about, and the year after, I'll show you the paper that he gave me.
I might be able to help you while he's coming up due to, just to clarify from an agency perspective, we transitioned from officers back in what I consider the old days, selling licenses and handling money. I'm a firm believer. When I was the chief of law enforcement, I worked for many years to remove the money handling aspect from a law enforcement officer, because I don't believe that handling money and enforcing the law go hand in hand. That's the nexus, just a little bit, that maybe helps you get to where we are with Mr. Hyonis.
Right.
Go ahead, Demetri.
That's Mr. Kifton, he bring me in my office and direct me to go to Long Bay to pick them up. I have a long history of the Long Bay. It's my competition in my business, and also ex-employee that he did not left with very good terms. And this is what I give him, and I say, will you please repeat this? And he did exactly what I tell him. This year, I did not have this paper. They have it on the computer. And I say, will you please repeat the license of last year? And he told me, I cannot find you in the computer. Give me your number. I remember, give me your number, your commercial number. I did not have the commercial number. So, because Mr. Clifton wants me to get the license, I got to go run back to Bubba's, get the license, the commercial number, bring it back. But I have it in the car. So I turned around, and I give him the commercial number. He was sitting, it was him by himself in the store.
Okay.
Further questions?
So,
Mr. Schick.
So when you purchased the license,
yes, sir.
The second time from Long Bay,
yes, sir.
You didn't notice that you only had four.
No, sir. No, I specific repeat to give you the license. I even tell him that I was behind, that I've been called, and I need my license. And I said, please check in your computer therein. When he sent me outside in the car to get my number, he did not want to check the computer, or he cannot. I wasn't sure why he did that.
So you asked for what you had last
yes,
year,
sir.
But you did not ask for six licenses.
No. Repeat the license for last year.
Repeat last year.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you, sir. We may have further. And
thank you.
Give Mr. Welton a chance to run. Counselor? No, sir. No, sir. Well, hold on a second.
Did the rules...
28.2216.
That is a formal hearing.
That's the formal hearing. Okay.
Okay. My apologies.
Not a problem. He has to keep me straight. Could you identify yourself again, too, please?
Sure. My name is Noah Weisberg. I've been retained as counsel for Mr. Dirk Sanford to protect his interests herein. Our first witness would be Mr. Sanford, if I could adjourn.
Okay, well, can we swear everybody in that's going to...
Sure. Everybody, y'all know who you are. Mr. Sanford, Mr. Ray, Mr. Menning. I may not call all these.
Okay.
Mr. Barber and Mr. Gregory.
You gentlemen solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you. Who's first counselor?
Mr. Sanford, please. Shall I have him come to the mic?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Have him state his name and for the record.
Sir, could you please introduce yourself?
Dirk Sanford.
Okay. And Mr. Sanford, what's your relationship to this issue?
I have purchased these two licenses, and I wish to fish them.
All right. When did you make your application?
July 7th, 08.
Okay. And you got your license when?
I believe it was the 24th of July, I believe.
Okay. As a result of getting your license, have you taken any financial steps to ready the site or to take advantage of the license
for
commercial use? What have you done?
I've purchased netting, ropes, twine, poles. I've tried to get a contract to get somebody to come pump in some poles for me, but this has been going on, so I've been unable to seal that deal. But
how much money in total do you think you've spent as a result of getting these licenses to prepare them for commercial fishing?
Probably close to $9,000.
Okay. When would you have liked to have started putting these pound nets in, and how long do you think it'll take to get them in?
I would have liked to started when I put the application in back in July. I didn't get my license until, I believe, the 24th. So, yes, I would have liked to have them in, but season's kind of getting late for me to make any money, and it's been ongoing. And you know,
how long do you think it'll take you to get them in?
With the fall of the year, the weather is kind of bad, and it may take a month per trap. If the weather's good, maybe 2 weeks per trap.
How did you hear about the availability of these licenses?
I was talking to Eric Barth. And I asked him for the...
Now where is it, Mr. Barth, from?
He is a BMRC, or I guess he does some kind of statistical work for BMRC on counting the number of pound nets and what's available. He had told me back in, I believe it was June, probably around the first week of June, that I was trying to find out, I was going to take some licenses from up the bay and bring them down here. And I was trying to find out where Mr. Hyannis' traps were, and he only gave me four locations. And I knew there was six licenses, possibly seven licenses. And he told me there was only four locations, and he gave me the locations of where they were. And so he said that those licenses weren't purchased and that they were available to be purchased.
What is your understanding of the location, excuse me, of where your licenses are for?
I believe off Cape Story, by the fence where the military base is.
How far offshore?
I believe it's like 100 yards off the beach.
Okay. And the additional ones?
That I'm unsure of. I actually believe it's on Bayberry Street. Where Stan 2 is.
You want to show the commission where it is using these graphics?
Yeah.
If you can.
This one here is the Cape Story and Port Story. Cape Story being the neighborhood. It's now First Landing State Park and the Army base right there. And that license is... The description is pretty clear of where that license is.
Okay, and do you have a copy of your license with you?
Yes, I do.
And I'm not sure if it's in the commission's, what the commission gets. Is there a copy of the license in there, or I'm happy to tender one? I don't get a copy of your, I did not get a copy of the file.
You can provide it to us.
Okay. Can you get that for us, please?
For the record, just as a matter of clarification for the commission, when individuals call in and ask about stand location, it is pretty much accepted that it's not privileged information. It is provided so that individuals can make determinations as to decisions as to whether they want to purchase a license or not if it's available. There are a limited number of licenses, of course, that are available under the regulation. But if someone were to call, it's not uncommon to be provided that information.
You're handing me, for the record, one license that says it's transaction number 0L008416, and it gives a description of the location of this license. Can you read it for the record, please?
It says approximately 200 yards west of the First Landing State Park and Fort Story property line, running in a seaward direction.
Okay. And we move for entry.
Just let the officer look at it. Yeah, we will.
That would be what I refer to as license number 6.
Okay. We'll make copies of.
Thank you. And would you point, please, using the graphic, where it is that you thought that that license was for?
It's next to stand for, it's actually 97 yards, sort of in northeast or east northeast direction. There's a set of abandoned poles to the right of stand for.
Okay. You have an additional license that you received?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And will you read the location for the record of that license?
Lower Chesapeake Bay at Cape Henry, approximately 800 yards west of First Landing State Park and Fort Story property line.
Okay. Where's the second half of that license?
It was attached to that.
Oh, okay. License there.
There is a lat long attached on this.
Thank you.
Computer and on the applications.
And, sir, if you can identify where it is, you proceed that one to locate it.
From what I understand, it's somewhere between 3 and 4, I believe.
Okay. And how much did you pay for these licenses, if you recall?
I believe they're $42 or $41
a piece. $41
a piece. Plus registration, commercial registration, which is $180.
Okay. No further questions.
Any questions of counsel? Or? All right. Thank you, sir. Next witness.
Call Steve Ray. Sir, can you state your name for the record, please?
Steve Ray.
And how do you spell your last name, Mr. Ray?
W-R-A-Y.
Okay. Mr. Ray, can you describe your relationship to this case, please?
I'm the BMRC agent who sold Mr. Hyonis his licenses.
Okay. Where do you work?
That's what I do now.
Okay. And where's the location that you're at?
2109 West Great Neck Road.
Okay.
The beach.
Do you remember the day when Mr. Hyonis came in and asked to renew his licenses?
Yes, I do.
Can you describe to the commission what you remember?
Well, what I remember about it, and I've given several statements to several different BMRC officers. Mr. Hyonis came in to my shop that morning, said that he had been called by VMRC, one of the officers, and said that he needed to buy his pound net licenses. So I said, okay. So I went over to the computer, and as an agent, I can only access a commercial waterman's information by having his commercial ID number, which is like remembering your social security number. And I said, what's your ID number? He says, just look it up. And I said, I can't look it up. I can't get in here until you get, I need your commercial card for your number. So he went outside, came back in a few minutes, had his commercial card. My student's information, brought it up, and I said, okay, here they are. Which ones do you want? He said, it does not matter. And I said, well, it does matter because they all have addresses attached to them. Which ones are you fishing? He said, I'm only fishing 4. Well, which ones are you fishing? Because on here it's showing that you have 4 that it only shows me what he bought last year. And I don't know anything about how the pound net system works, how it's transferred, or, with the prey trout thing or whatever. But I went into my cabinet, got the plates, made sure I had four plates. And I said, which ones do you want? And I read off the address to the first one. Is that one? You want that one? That's the one I had last year. Yep. 2, 3, 4. Seal, you know, hit confirm. And he wrote me a check, and I gave him. And when, and you not only do you get the four actual license plates for the nest, but you also get your printout like they, like Dirk Sanford had. And it has the four nets on there, the four licenses bought with the addresses of each net. Gave him the four plates, his license. He gave me a check for the, you know, the amount for the four licenses, and he left. That's the last thing I heard about it until Officer Clifton called me, month ago or so. I guess he called me and asked me if I remembered what happened that day. And I said, yeah, I remember, because, you know, occasionally when he comes in, it's, you know, it's a, I always remember the experience. But
were there any other people there when this transaction occurred?
Well, I could not remember. I knew that there were other people in the shop, but I could not remember who else was in there. And then several weeks ago, one of my salesmen happened to be in there, and I was reading a letter that I'd gotten that Mr. Hines had written to the VMRC that I'd gotten through the Freedom of Information Act. And I'm reading the letter, and he goes, what's that? And I said, it's something to do with Dimitri over the pound nets.
And based on that conversation, excuse me, but just to try and run the day a little shorter, based on that conversation, did you recall anybody else having been there during this transaction?
Well, once he said that, I remembered that Douglas Manning, one of my tackle salesmen, happened to be there that morning.
Okay. And did you, after, let's be clear, you're sure in your mind you explained to Mr. Hyonis that there were six licenses that could be renewed by him? You have no doubt?
Well, I have, there were six on the screen.
Okay.
And I asked him, which ones did he want?
Out of the six.
Out of the six.
And he said?
He said, I'm only fishing the four. It does not matter.
May I ask a question?
Yes, you may, because it's the same one I'm going to ask probably.
Did you ask him if he wanted all six of his licenses again?
Well, period. I didn't, because I do not know.
He came in and asked you for a license renewal. You called it up.
Correct.
Your six came up.
Correct.
Four
came up that he fished the year before. Yeah,
did you say that you have six under your name? Do you want all six?
No, I did not say that.
You just say, which licenses do you want?
Which ones do you want? Because four show up that he actually purchased, I guess, last year. Two showed up as forfeited. You know, the last two, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The last two, I remember when the computer showed they were forfeited. And
did you discuss with him the two that were forfeited? Did you tell him that they were showing?
No, because I don't understand. I had no knowledge of how the system worked with surrendering and all that. So.
Okay. So, just to be clear then, your conversation with him in reality, did it mention the number? Did anybody mention the number six in this? Nobody. Okay. I don't have any further questions.
Mr. Tankard and Mr. Robbins.
I just want to get myself clear here, because as I understand it, Mr. Bray, am I got that?
Bray.
Bray, excuse me. You didn't understand the importance of Mr. Ionis having six licenses. Okay.
Well, when commercial fishermen come in, all I do is bring up their number and I ask them what
do they want, because some guys have, you know, some guys have 30 different gear licenses. So I make no judgments. I don't give them any legal status on what they can get, what they can't get. I tell them to call here and find out. All I do is ask them what do they want from what they're approved on. I put a check on it, and that's as far as it goes. I make sure I have the plate that they want, or I call over here and have the plate mailed to them, and that's as far as my connection with it.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Ray, is it your testimony that you sold him then the four licenses, the same four licenses in 2008 that he had bought in 2007?
Right, he took the first. I read off the addresses to the first four that were on the list, and he said he wanted those first four. I read the addresses to him. You know, they were street addresses like the end of Bayberry, you know, Oak Street or something, you know, Bayberry, so many yards from here, so many yards from there.
But it's your testimony, just to be clear, that those are the same four that he bought in 2007.
Correct.
In other words, that's what your system indicated.
Correct. Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Pardon me.
Mr. Tankard?
I'm still confused here, though. I'm still learning. So
there
the four,
you're there.
The four that you're saying, were they the ones he fished?
They were evidently they were the same four that he fished last year.
But he right. paid for six licenses.
No, he paid for four.
Four.
Okay. You get a license plate for each one that you purchase.
In 2007, he paid for four.
He paid.
I mean, six.
Well, I have no idea how many he paid for the year before because the computer screen showed four licenses that were active, I guess, and the last two said forfeited.
I think I can clear this up. I'm going to show you a document, if I may. Do you recognize this document?
That's the actual screen that comes up when I brought it up.
And so is this what you were looking at when Mr. Hyonas came in and said, I want to renew?
Yeah.
Paper man here.
Yep, exactly what I was looking at right there.
And I think actually this was provided. That's a move right here. Just to be clear, you got paid for how many licenses?
Four. No further questions.
Well, I guess the question that I've got is, I've got two licenses here. If they were the same four licenses that Mr. Hyonas bought last year, how could these be two of the four? Or are they not?
If they were the same...
If Mr. Hyonas, as Mr. Ray indicated, bought the same four that he bought last year, why was Mr. Hyonas... How did these two licenses become of issue? Because it seems like these two would be two of the four that Mr. Hyonas bought.
I think Mr. Hyonas, if questioned, would say that he bought six licenses over the prior years,
mm-hmm.
and that this year he came in and he only bought four. Now, clearly there seems to be a problem with the system in that it's showing he was eligible, or maybe there isn't. I mean, you know, he had to renew his licenses by January 10th.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about May, and my understanding is there has to be some degree of approval that would allow him to get the opportunity to renew.
Right.
And so I would assume, and I don't know, and the gentleman would know better than me, but I would assume if you forfeit your right by not making reapplication by January 10th, then you may not be able to, you know, you lose your priority. It becomes an open application, and the first in line gets it. That would be my client,
sure.
Mr. Sanford.
Yep.
So I think it's 6-4, and that's where those two come from.
All right.
I don't have any questions for him.
Yeah.
Mr. Schick?
Yes, sir.
Do you know Mr. Sanford?
Yes, I do.
Do you have any connection with him financially?
None whatsoever. Other than the fact he is a commercial waterman and buys his licenses at the shop.
No relations any other way.
No business relations whatsoever.
And just in follow-up, did you tell Mr. Sanford about these licenses?
I most certainly did not. I was accused of it by Mr. Hounis.
That's it. That,
okay. That's not okay.
Who's next witness?
Okay. Next witness, Mr. Gregory, Charlie Gregory.
Yeah.
Can you introduce yourself to the commission, please, sir?
Charlie Gregory, Waterman.
Mr. Gregory, did you have a discussion with Mr. Hyonas regarding this?
Briefly.
And did he say anything about this incident to you?
Yeah, I was there one Sunday morning. Mr. Sanford and I crab. We bought bait from Mr. Hyonas. He come up to me kind of abruptly on a Sunday morning and said, shortly and rudely, I don't believe that you and Mr. Sanford are trying to better from my mistake. And I was like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, just kind of didn't want nothing to do with it, and he said that he didn't buy those two licenses, and he couldn't believe that we were going after them. Hey, I had no clue of it, you know. They're eligible. They're eligible for anybody, right?
All right. So that's the only discussion
that
you had.
I left after that because I knew where that conversation was going.
That's it. That's all I had.
Well,
hold on.
Ma'am, that's fine.
Okay.
Have anyone? Who's next?
That's it. I don't think there's a need.
Well, I did. Mr. Deming, or Menning, sent the commission a letter.
Yeah, and he's here.
He's here. Come forward. If you want to ask him the question, you want me
sure,
to ask
I'm
him?
Sure, I'm happy Sir, can you state your name for the record, please?
Doug Manning.
And how do you spell your last name?
M-E-N-N-I-N-G.
And Mr. Manning, what's your? Do you have any recollection about the events previously testified to?
Yeah.
Can you tell the commission what you remember happening when?
Okay, basically I was in the store making a sales call, and I was in the middle of writing an order with Steve when Dimitri came in. It pretty much transpired.
You sell tackle, right?
Okay. And it just transpired basically the way they said. He came in, he didn't have the numbers, he went back out, he came back in again with his numbers, his commercial numbers. I was standing at the end of the counter where the computer is located, and he basically said, I need to get my licenses. And so Steve went and tried to pull up the numbers and got everything up there, and he said, well, you've got, you know, these licenses, which ones do you want? He says, I need the four licenses for the nets that I fish. So he went through and took the time, paid pretty good attention to what he was doing, because he named down the streets, and like I remember Fort Story being mentioned in there, and went through in detail where the nets locations were. And I recall also that on the four license issues, because he had to go underneath the counter where the computer is, he says, I have to check to make sure I have the four plates that go along with it. And that's pretty much what happened.
Do you know Mr. Sanford in any way besides from this incident?
First time I ever saw him was today. I really have no horse in this race other than to, you know, verify that Mr. Ray, you know, acted in a proper manner the whole time he did the licenses. It was, you know, just doing, you know, it was just like he would for anybody else to come in the door.
No further questions.
This is your document
that
you sent to me. Mr. Ray just testified they never mentioned the number six. That never came up. And the end of your letter, you indicate that Mr. Hyonis said that he needed four licenses for his nets, and Mr. Ray stopped and checked in a cabinet because he wasn't sure he had enough plates. After pulling out the plates, he asked what four of the six nets he wanted them assigned to and pulled up the locations. How did Mr. Ray say that, Mr. Hyonis, please sit down. How did Mr. Ray, who was handling the transaction, testify just then directly under oath saying he never mentioned the number six, yet you heard him say which four of the six do you want?
Well, that was my recollection, not necessarily his.
How would you pull the number six out of the air if it were six licenses?
When he was there, he pulled up on the screen there.
Could you see the screen?
Yeah, I could see the screen.
Okay.
It showed six locations. And I had mentioned to Mr. Ray afterwards, I said, if he had, you know, has the six nets, how come he only bought four licenses? And he says, well, probably because he only plans on fishing with four.
Okay. Questions? Banker?
So you're sure about that? He said that in your statement here on the first page, after pulling out the plates, he asked what four of the six nets he wanted them assigned to.
I know that there were six up there is what I'm saying.
So sounded to you, and it sounds to me from your testimony, that it sounds like Mr. Jonas was trying to get six licenses.
No, there was no mention on his part of the six. What I'm saying is there were six on the screen, and he was going through and mentioning all the addresses of all the six locations and saying, you know, asking him which license he wanted attached to what net.
Further questions? Thank you.
Okay.
All I have is comment about Judge or Commissioner, no more argument.
Okay. Mr. Bennis, can you come forward for the testimony? I've got a document here that also says that the licenses were forfeited in 2006 on this printout, which was printed out on July 16, 2008. Can you shed some light on
this document? This document here came directly off of Long Bay Point Bay Tackle Shop computer. I asked Mr. Ray to pull up the screen that he had. He explained to me that when he pulls them up, it has a square next to him. As you can see, this black drum harvest permit has a square next to it. That means it has not been purchased. When he sells the license and marks and indicates it's been sold, it comes up with a G in that category. So you have four G's here for the first four pound nets, and the last two remain unsold. You can see down here at the bottom, it says select, unselect for renewal. You've got three of these licenses on this
screen that were approved, pre-approved by Officer Clifton for renewal last run in the last two. So this is directly off the Long Bay Point taken back here. My request from Mr.
Okay.
Mr. Commissioner.
Mr. Schick.
I don't, if they were forfeited in 2006, then he would have bought them again in 2007, all six of them. Then wouldn't he have to forfeit them in 2007 again?
Yes, he did.
Now, how come that doesn't show up on the screen?
It shows up each year that the previous year was forfeited, as far as we're
concerned. But that's 2008, and it says forfeited 2006.
That's actually the 2007 approval screen.
Oh, okay.
It's approved for the next year.
So that's what he would have seen when he came
that's
in
what
to buy the...
He would have seen what these licenses were for 2007 and what it was for that previous year.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One follow-up question. I'm trying to reconcile Mr. Ray's testimony with the written narrative here. And it says, in the 2006 and 7 seasons, after purchasing all six licenses, Mr. Hyonas surrendered licenses 5 and 6 for the weak fish closed seasons. Now, we heard that when Mr. Ray looked at the screen at the time of sale, there were six licenses there, two of which had been surrendered. So there were four that appeared to be, I guess, eligible for renewal. And he testified that he sold Mr. Hyonas the same four licenses that Mr. Hyonas fished in 2007. Now, I don't know that we have enough detail in the written narrative. Can you confirm? Did he purchase the same licenses in the same four?
Those four licenses that he purchased in 2008 were this part of the package that he purchased in 2007 and purchased previous years. He always purchased six and always surrendered back two licenses.
But were the two that were not surrendered, just to follow, were the two that were surrendered in 2007 among the four that he purchased in 2008?
No.
Okay. So
the same license.
So he fished, so basically he fished four stands in 2007.
Yes, sir.
Under the same licenses that he purchased in 2008. In fact, they may have been inaccurately licensed in 2007, based on
when
we put all this together.
When he started surrendering back licenses 5 and 6, he was actually fishing at least license number 6
right.
Legally. The other license, the other stand that he has out there, like I say, that with the vague descriptions that have carried over the years, 33 years, it's difficult to tell if that was on license or not. But I can state that license number 6 that has a stand on it, he had forfeited in 2006, 2007. And according, if you go strictly by our regulations, was fishing them illegally in those 2 years.
Further questions?
If I may ask one question to clear one.
Yes, you may.
I think I might go clear, so I'm not making any guarantees. There were two types of descriptions on these licenses, and one of them was a physical description that did not have GPS coordinates. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Can you give us, do you know what the physical description was of licenses 5 and 6? And if you do, you know how long it was the description?
The original applications by Mr. Hyonas, I have those here, and I have the printouts from our computer systems.
And would you read the descriptions on the record and try to best identify them on the graphic?
You want the descriptions of all of them or just those last two?
No, 5 and 6, please.
Okay, license 5, east of Lynnhaven Inlet and west of Fort Story, approximately 1,400 feet east of stand number 4, running in a northerly direction.
And can you identify that using this graphic, if that's possible?
No,
or
I can't.
Is it not? Okay.
That's not possible.
Okay. Is it not on that depicted, or is it just too difficult to do?
The reason this is so vague is because license number 4, you have to go back to that, which is referenced in this one. And the description on that is running in a northerly direction east of Lynn Haven Inlet.
Didn't make any guarantees.
Number six license is 1,800 yards east of stand number five, which is reference to stand number four, which is vague. Online with the state park in Fort Story, approximately 420 feet offshore, running in a northerly direction. And that will be this stand right here in that license. You can tell that because that is the property line right there that's mentioned in that, and that's also on our computer.
So with respect to license number six, you have no problem identifying?
Have no problem identifying that.
Okay.
And if you go 1,800 yards back from that stand, if you're following the beach line, you end up on top of stand number two, or if you follow it in a straight easterly direction, you end up offshore.
Okay, so for stand number six, you have no doubt where that is located.
Have no doubt where that's located.
How long has that description been used to license number six?
As far as the documentation that I have, it has been that way since Mr. Hionis applied for it in 2005.
And just to be clear, there's a question answered earlier. He fished location number six in the prior in 2007. Is that correct?
Yes, he did.
Thank you. I don't have any further questions.
Mr. Welton, do you want to wrap this up, please? Thank you. I'll be quick. Richard Welton again. If you're confused, I fished him and I'm confused. There was no numbers on the nets. There was the first one on the left was a pier net, then there was Bayberry Street, then there was State Park, and there was Cape Henry. Now, where you all were confused about which ones were forfeited and which ones weren't, from listening to the testimony, when Officer Clifton came and sold the six licenses, he knew which two to forfeit that weren't being used, and the right ones were forfeited. I think last year, in 2007, the wrong net, or at least one of the wrong nets, was forfeited. So he was forfeiting a site that he was fishing all year. He has fished all four sites right there this year. He's fishing that one to the far right, which is, Kenny Etheridge called it Cape Henry when he trained me. I call it Cape Henry. I think they're calling it number six or whatever. So the one to the far right is still being fished. So if he wasn't confused, why would he not buy the license for a stand that he's fishing 6 or 7 days a week? I mean, he's just... It appears that it wasn't intentional on the agent's fault, but there was confusion, or he would have, if he's only to buy four licenses, he would buy the four that he's fishing. And you can see how easy it is. Now, the one last question I have, if Mr. Sanford has two licenses and the locations are so clear, well, who's got the license that's back in the bike path, and who's got the license that's offshore? How did it become so clear for his two licenses, and I still am not clear on the four licenses that I've been fishing, that I fish for a year and a half every day. So, I mean, I just want you all to know there is a lot of confusion about this, and Mr. Hionis would like to continue on with all six sites and get it straight and continue to point his people.
Thank you. Counselor, wrap it up, please.
May it please the Commissioner, thank you for your time and allowing me to present argument as well as evidence. Must I urge the council or commission to keep our eye on the ball. The discussion that is at issue occurs in May. There is a statute that clears this up with respect to number six. A statute, which I think has been provided to the commission, does not have any discretion. It simply says it's 4 VAC 2020-50. It says that for the period, states that any location not relicensed during the period of 9 a.m. December 1st to 12 noon January 10th shall be considered vacant. I hate to sound cruel, but there may have been a mistake by Mr. Hionis, and certainly we can feel for him. But the reality is it falls on him to make sure that he has the appropriate licenses necessary to run his business. This is May that we're fighting over when his obligation was on him to take care of his responsibilities and the responsibilities in his business by January.
And in comes my client, a perfectly innocent person, just a businessman, a fisherman, trying to make a living. And he does everything he's supposed to do. And he gets the license, which is now vacant and subject to your standard priority rights. In other words, whoever applies for that spot gets it. Whoever applies for it first gets it, provided that they are otherwise appropriate. That is my client. Not only did he apply for it, the license has been issued. He has spent close to $10,000 in reliance upon that between these two spots. And so with respect to license number 6, I don't see that there is a lot of discretion with respect to Mr. Hyonis' unfortunate position today. He talks at great length about people he employed. No doubt my client employs people. He talks about mistakes and this and that. At the end of the day, there is no discretion. Now, my client would concede there is a problem with number 4, and we look to the commission for resolution. Clearly, as technology gets better, sometimes some things get more confusing, and this would be one of those cases. Where license number 4 is, it is a difficult one to tell, and we are open to the court's or to the commission's suggestion on how to resolve that. But license number 6 should be relatively clear on what to do with that. Mr. Hyonis forfeited his right to fish that location. He fished that location the year before. He licensed that location the year before. And it is not Mr. Clifton's job. It is not anybody's job, but Mr. Hyonis' job to ensure that he had the licenses necessary for this. And he had plenty of time. This is May that we're fighting over, and really he had to preserve his rights by January. Thank you.
Questions of the commission. Mr. Schick.
I can see there's a lot of confusion in this matter and in the way the screen comes up and, not getting the letter that he's used to getting, even though that he knew that he wasn't going to get a letter. Is there any leeway that the statute has that we can work something out to get him a stand? I mean, because there's a limited number of stands. So is there anything we can do to help him out? As far as that you can see.
For the record, I went on the limb and froze the stands after this became a problem or a consideration or concern in anticipation of what the commission would do. I don't know what the commission ultimately will do, but there are two. Is Eric still here? There are still, I don't need him, Colonel. There still are two available stands that Mr. Hyonis could get. Above and beyond these stands that have been issued out. I think the problem, though, is he's invested the money, time, and historically fished these specific stands that now Mr. Sanford has in his possession. So I guess the question that you're begging of, I guess, counsel to advise us is, where are we right in this situation from a legal perspective? I know the commission has certain discretion as to what they can or can't do, but I'm looking to you to advise us where we are and what you see from a legal perspective.
Well, I look at the, and it's not a statute, it's a regulation. It's 4 VAC 20-20-50, which counsel mentioned. And it is very specific, and it places the responsibility on the individual, and to the extent that a mistake has been made, and I thought clearly a mistake has been made, whose fault is that mistake? And I don't think you have the discretion under the regulation to decide that somebody who has subsequently come in and obtained valid licenses under your regulation to take them away from that individual and give them back to somebody else who are the fact finders. I'm not. I'm just giving legal advice. If you think he made a mistake, I don't think that you have the right to take it away from the new individual and give it back to him. If there's two additional ones that he could purchase and sell, or whatever the case may be, I don't know. If this were a question of fraud, and I personally, although I don't decide the facts, again, I don't see that there's an issue of fraud here that meets the clear and convincing evidence standard.
Question of Jack, then. Can two more stands be put in that? He fishes 4. He has 2 that he buys, but he doesn't fish. is there area that he can have two more stands that he doesn't fish?
I think it'd be more appropriate for Officer Bennis to answer that.
And what do we do with the one that's, there's a problematic one, number four, is that correct?
Yes, sir. At least one of these, possibly two of them, and I think the person that knows best would be Mr. Welton, who's fished them and has been there. He says that there are two of them offshore, which would be stands four and five. One of them right now belonging to Mr. Hayonis, and the other one belonging to Mr. Sanford. Stand six is currently has a net on it, has poles on it, and encroaching on Mr. Sanford's area out there. What I did with the advice of my command is I set number five stand, or number five license, which is now Mr. Sanford's license, between these two existing stands out here, stand three and four. And there's plenty of room there to build another set.
Let me ask
there's
you.
There's plenty of room right down here off of the west end of the state park to put another net out there.
This is one of those situations where people are in a water battle and everybody's getting wet. It's clearly, by virtue of counsel's information, the mistake was made. As unfortunate as it is, we can't, as I hear Mr. Josephson say, we can't blame Mr. Sanford for being there at the right place at the right time. Is it right or wrong? That's in the eye of the beholder. So those stands that were not lawfully purchased, I would presume, by Mr. Hyonis at the time of his purchase, are the lawful property of Mr. Sanford. Is that what you're saying, Carl?
Yes.
So what we've got now is, how do we fix this situation so that everybody can fish what they want to fish down there? I would, knowing that there are two additional stands that are available, pound net stands, I don't know how we can work it out. I'd like to work it out, Counselor. I don't know what power, authority, or higher might you've got that you can, that we could sit down, and you could sit down and work it out with law enforcement, Mr. Sanford, Mr. Hyannis. Bottom line is, y'all all got the fish down there. Everybody's got to get along, I would hope. Of course, I'm the consummate optimist, as usual. But that's where I see where we are now. And I don't know what the solution is other than meeting with Mr. Bennis and his command. And am I getting anywhere?
If I may.
Yes, you may.
I think there's another problem that I don't know. Thank you. It seems to me that stand number six is taken care of and wrapped up, and I've spoken to my client about that. And the reality is, it is a great stand. It is just one of those sweet fishing spots that everybody wants. And at this point, I think, as counsel has said, it is now my client's property. I think I'm speaking with my client. Number five, he is clearly willing to work out. We're happy to sit in a room and see what we can hammer out by way of compromise. It appears to me, just looking at the situation, as Officer Bennis had indicated, you can put one in between, I think he said three and four, which could be our number five. And then if Mr. Hyonis is not fishing, he's forfeiting or surrendering too, then they can be out at sea, so to speak, or not close to shore. And I don't know that everybody's interests aren't preserved. I know that Mr. Hyonis does not want to get rid of number six. We are not willing to negotiate that issue. It is just too valuable. Number five we can work with, but I don't see the problem in giving a gentleman who's not going to fish two licenses out at that are not usable anyway. I would say the idea, and it occurred to me, and I proposed it to my client, that perhaps we can take your nets, et cetera, and fish them out at a different spot. It's not necessarily viable. The poles apparently are sort of built to standard for the spot. They have to be the right depth. So I just bring that to light. And of course, I would note, there is this rule of law that if nobody objects, then it must be okay. So if we can reach an agreement, I don't think statutorily or regulation-wise there's any problem whatsoever. But stand number six, it has to go to my client.
Richard, you put yourself in a position of being a representative, I don't want to beat you by your own words, but you, by your own admission, indicated
that's
maybe
fine.
But I want to work this out. I hate to sound like
I want to work it out too, because he needs to keep employing those people. But there's clearly a site that's offshore that I think Officer Bennis is allowed to be moved inshore when he wrote the license. And it's kind of arbitrary to cut off. If they want to keep the sweet spot, all of a sudden, you know, my client who's been fishing these sites continuously is not getting the benefit of anything statutorily. A guy that comes in, okay, he licensed a sweet spot that we didn't license. But then what about the one that's offshore, and now you're going to allow him to move it up on the beach because it's easier to fish and to intercept. And we got a heck of a problem with the locations of all the stands. We need to reset them and get a definition, a good legal definition of all the ones that he still has title to. But you know, if they're going to get the sweet spot and then they want to move another one in between two of the nets from an offshore position, I don't think you build one offshore. I don't think the boat traffic there will let it because they'll run into them in the dark. So that's going to be a whole other battle for another day. But we got $30,000 worth of poles just to buy the poles and then putting them in, and he's asking us to walk away from that. I understand where you're going. I understand what's going to happen to us, but I don't see, you know, taking that laying down and letting them have it.
You don't have the problem is, I mean, you can appeal it to circuit court, and I don't think anybody benefits by doing that. That's my concern.
I understand. Thank you all.
My client has authorized me, and I know this isn't a mediation. There's too many people here, but
it is.
He'll agree to start at 6 and redo them, and he will agree to that. So if he gets position number 6, and everybody can sort out a shoreline in a meeting, I'd offer that.
All right, this is what I want. The lawyer, our lawyer clearly has ruled that Mr. Sanford obtained those licenses lawfully. I'm not going to get into any dialogue or any documentary on it. What I'd like to do, Steve, if you would, you and Sergeant Clifton are the ones, Colonel Rhodes, you're listening, if you would, please. Those are the ones that are most intimately involved in it. I'd like to make arrangements. And Mr. Hyonas, if you would agree, I think I'm trying to work this out. I don't know of any other way. If y'all could all decide to meet, decide what's going on, because as I said before, we've got to work together. It's got to work out down there for the betterment of everybody. Everybody's in the same boat together. If you can arrange a mutual meeting to try to figure out what's going on, realizing that Mr. Hyonas does have the option of purchasing two licenses, those two that was my agreement, right, wrong, or lawful. I just have to bear the brunt of it. But get together and see if we can't get these stands correctly set, documented, and work something out so that everybody can be gainfully employed down there. That's the best I can do today. I don't know.
If I could get some direction on this, on these licenses, especially this existing stand number 3, to correct the old verbiage from 33 years ago.
Absolutely.
Make that stand Latin long, exactly where that is.
I want these stands so that when I go out there on a Friday night with a GPS, I can go to them.
Yes, sir.
That's what I want.
We will set. I will go into our system and correct those Latin longs and those descriptions.
Thank you. These documents you can take with you. Any further business come before this commission? Meeting adjourned.